We are indeed very thankful to the Lord that in spite of the situation that we are in, we are still able to meet in this manner. We thank God for this provision of knowledge of technology so that we are able to congregate and still worship you. And I trust that all of us in the home worshiping the one true living God may realize that this is a worship service. So I hope that you will not be lounging around in a very relaxed manner, but I trust that your focus this morning will be on the Word of God and your focus will be on Him, our Savior, who died for us and who rose up for us. Now, in the face of the spread of this coronavirus, what do you think people are most fearful about? They say that many people are fearful of death during this time. Questions people will ask of themselves is this: will this disease strike me? And if it does strike me, what kind of defense do I have against this disease? Will I succumb to it? And then if I die, succumb to it and I die, where will I go? Will I be plunging into and the unknown? Or will I be going to heaven? Or will I be going to hell? And then will I be bringing this disease back to my home and spread it to my loved ones? I'm sure these are questions that many people will be addressing at this time. And then the next year, people might have is the loss of income. I would say might have, but I say many people do have this fear, the fear of the loss of income. Will I lose my job? Will I lose my business? If I lose them, how am I and my family are going to be provided for? And what about my home? I take a mortgage to purchase the place. Will my home be repossessed? Questions that cause fears and worries in the hearts of people. Then on the macro level, people are very fearful that the world might just plunge into a depression. When that happens, it is going to be very, very terrible. Banks are going to close, businesses are going to go, businesses are going to go bankrupt. Now, many people are going to become jobless. Many people are will become homeless. And yes, the sufferings during this time could be worse than the sufferings under the under this accidents that people are going through. Indeed, the spread of this fearsome virus has generated lots of fears. And these fears can really destroy us mentally and physically. They can lose sleep, lose concentration, and because we lose sleep, we don't have enough rest. Because we don't have enough rest, we may become very vulnerable to the impact of this disease. So, what is our defense against these manifold fears that we have? And let us look at the Word of God, because the Word of God has the answer to our these questions. Regards to our defense against this fear that is generated by the coronavirus. Now, I'd like us to look at the example of David in regards to how he contended with his fear and how he overcame his fear. I refer you to Psalm 56, the Psalm that we read earlier on. Psalm 56. Now, the heading of the Psalm. Now turn to Psalm 56. Let's take the first Psalm 56 and look at the heading of the Psalm. The heading: to the chief musician, upon your neck, and let rest him. The time of David, when the Philistines took him in Gath. The Philistines took him in Gath. Gath is one of the cities of the Philistines. He was taken or captured in the land of the Philistines. Now this psalm talks about David running away from King Saul. And he was running away from King Saul because Saul was not his son. Saul was very, very jealous of him when he knew that David was going to replace him as the king of Israel. So he went after David like a hunter would go after a wild animal. And David had to run to many, many places. As in 1. Verse 8 says, to the Lord, Lord, thou tellest my dwelling, thou tellest my wanderings. In other words, God, you number my wanderings. You know how many places that I've gone to. Now, in desperation, runs to the land of the Philistines. This was enemy territory. Now, did the Philistines know David? Did they know that he was their enemy? Of course they knew. Because earlier on, David had slain their great hero, Goliath. Knew who he was. Yes, so they had him killed. And in desperation, David had to defend Nath in the hope of freeing himself from the hands of Achish, the king of the Philistines. And so we read this in this account in 1 Samuel chapter 21. You can look very quickly to 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 11 to 14. And let us see a picture of the fear that was king, right? 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 11 to 14. For you, Daniel chapter 21, and verse 1, verse 11, sorry, Daniel, 1 Samuel 21, 11. And the servants of Achish. Achish was the king of Gath, this place, town or city of the Philistines. And the servants of Achish said unto Achish, is not this David the king of the land? And they did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And David laid up these words in his heart. And was so afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them. See, he changed his behavior. And he feigned himself mad in the midst. Pretended to be mad and scrabble on the doors of the gate. In other words, he was clawing or scratching the doors of the gate. And let his people fall down upon his ear. He allowed his saliva to fall down his ear as he was pretending to prove. Then said Achish unto his servants, lo, is he the man is mad? Why then have he brought him to me? Yes. Why did you bring this mad man to me? So God intervened. God very, very mercifully sent David and brought him out of the hands of Achish. Now then, surely David was really like a heartless dove in the land of the Philistines. Some commentators said that the word in the reading of this psalm, Yonath, that simply means a dove in a foreign land. Surely he was like a helpless dove in a foreign land. Now, let us see how David faced fear. Look at the fear David had. What kind of fear did he have? He had a fear of wicked men. And what he feared was real. Saul was really after his life. And look at the great number of people who were after his life. We read this in Psalm 56, verses 1 and 2. Pray unto the Lord, Lord, be merciful unto me. For man would swallow me up, he fighting daily oppresses me. And then look at verse 2. My enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. Many that fight against me, not just one, two, three, two, but many, all down most high. His enemies, clearly Saul would not only kill him, if there was a possibility for Saul to swallow him up, he would do just that. And then when he escaped to the land, was it any better than that? No better. He was actually escaping from one danger in his homeland to the danger in the foreign land, in the land of the enemies. Then look at verse 5. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together, they hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. His enemies rested his words. In other words, his enemies twisted his words in the ears of Saul to cause Saul to be even more angry towards David. And David's enemies were very, very united against him. For here he says, they gathered themselves together. Yes, they gathered themselves together. And then they were very sly, very deceitful. They hide themselves to try to trap David and try to set traps for him and mark his steps and try to trap him. So the word of God here says, they mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Such enemies, very, very formidable. So that desperation, David had to run to the man of the Philistines. But it was no better way. He was danger there, danger at home. He was here at home, here in the foreign land. As it were, he was feeling here from every side. As he says in Psalm 31, verse 13, fear was on every side. Right now, aren't we living in a situation in fear? We're living in a situation in which fear is on every side. What we fear? We go to the supermarket, we go to the shopping centers, fear could be there. Yes, virus could be there. And then when you are in school, the fear could be there, the virus could be there also. In your workplace, the virus could be there also. And then you hold your hand, you hold the handrail, yes, the virus could be on the handrail. You hold the handle of the trolley, the virus could be on the handle of the trolley. Then you think that it is safe at home. It might not be safe at home also. Because someone from your home could have carried the virus back into your home. The other day, I turned on the television and there was this man who said this. Yes, we are in a very scary situation. And indeed, we are in a scary situation. The spread of this virus every side can actually cause us to become very irrational. It can cause us to worry ourselves sick. It can paralyze us to the extent that we spend our time in isolation, worrying and worrying. Not doing anything profitable, and then expecting the worst to come fast. Indeed, the fear of the virus can actually be more destructive than the virus itself. Now, David was not one to allow his fear to creep to him. He faced his fear all right, but not with his own strength, not with his own mind. He fought fear with the We fought here with faith in the one true living God. And that was what he did. Fought here with faith in the one true living God. And that is exactly what we must be doing. Fight here with faith in the one true living God. No, we mustn't allow fears in our lives to cripple us to the point where we do not know how to rejoice in the Lord. We must not allow fear to cripple us to the extent that we fail to live joyously for the Lord. Now, look at the opening verse of this psalm. Let us learn from David. Yes, David says, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me. So what did he do to fight his fear? Yes, he turned to the one true living God in faith. And as we said, that is exactly what we must be doing. We cannot fight fear with reason. We cannot apply reason and try to reason a person out of fear. If you take, for example, a person who might be fear of dying, and you try to give him all the statistics, reason with him that he ought not to fear, you could be telling him this. And say, well, these statistics have proven that if you were to travel at random, and you take off of at random from any airport in the world daily, the plane that you travel in will not crash for the next 6,000 years. Now, that's a long, long time. In other words, it's virtually impossible for you to meet with a plane crash, or the chances of your plane crashing is practically zero. It's so low. Now, with a person who is fearful of flying, agree with you. He might not say, yeah, that's very, very true. I can see that I cannot answer his statistics. But would he try? No, he was not. He was still not flying. Because planes cannot overcome here with reason. And you look at the panic buying that is taking place in many places, including here in Australia and Sydney, where people panic buy. The people in authority come up to assure the people, reason with the people, to tell them, fear not. We have plenty of supplies readily available in the pipeline. Don't worry. We have plenty of food. We have plenty of everything. Don't worry. But people with reason to reason, no, it won't. You cannot reason people out of the fear. The shelves are still empty. You go to the shop. Many of the shelves are still empty. Many buying is still going on. But like David, my dear friends, we can fight here with faith in the one true living God. Not with reason, but with fear, but with faith in the one true living God. So he says in verse 3, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. God, I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. David was thinking from experience with regards to his fighting fear with faith in the one true living God. As we said in the earlier years, he had fought against Goliath, and he had defeated Goliath, and he had slain Goliath. Oh my God, my faith in the one true living God. But you know what's the problem with many of us? When we read this account of David versus Goliath, the real problem with us is that we regard it as a daytime story. Many times, we regard it as a daytime story to enable our children to go to sleep. Yes, and that's all. And because we regard it as a daytime story, we do not seriously think how David might have felt when he went out to fight against Goliath. We do not think seriously whether David feared or not. But friends, understand this too. This is not a daytime story. In truth, it is a historical account. Understand this too. David was only human. And don't forget, he was a teenager at that time. And so, when he came up against the liars, do we not think that he had fear in his heart? I say that he had fear in his heart. Now the point is, he had fear in his heart, but he had faith in the one true living God to fight his fear. And so we read in 1 Samuel chapter 17, the next 1 Samuel chapter 17, and verses 45 to 47. Look at how he came up against the lion. He came up against him with faith in the one true living God. Let us look at those verses. First Samuel chapter 17, verse 45. Verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver me into thy hand, and I will smite thee, and I take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day into the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that he is a God in Israel, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Whom did David go out against Goliath? He went out, yes, with God on his side. He went out in the name of the one true living God. In other words, my dear friends, David had faith in the one true living God to overcome his fear when he went out to fight with Goliath. So what can be learned from this account of David versus Goliath? The lesson that we must learn is this. Yes, we must overcome fear with faith in the one true living God. No other ways of overcoming fear except Faith is the one who didn't know. So David says, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I have put my trust. First, what did David trust? Trust God in respect to. My dear friends, we trusted God in the mercy of God. So you look at verse 1. David says, be merciful unto me, O God, for man will swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me. He knew that there were those who were after his life. And he knew that those who were after his life were merciless. And there was no way that he was going to escape out of the hands of Saul if he was caught by Saul. Yes, he could not go on his knees to beg for all he wanted to beg. Saul will not spare him, as he said. If Saul could swallow him, he would. Yes. Dear friends, can we expect any kind of mercy from this fearsome coronavirus? No mercy from this virus. In fact, this virus has no respect of persons. Yes, it doesn't care whether you are a king or whether you are a queen, whether you are a prime minister, or whether you are a rich man, a poor man or woman, or a child. No, it has got no respect of persons at all. If it strikes, it strikes. That's true. If it strikes, it strikes. No mercy. Now, David could not find mercy from his enemies. But friends, for sure he could find mercy from the one who lived in God. In fact, mercy was the name of the seed from which the one true living God spoke to his people in ancient times. It was a special place on the top of the Ark of the Covenant, which was placed in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle of God. And it was called the Mercy Seat. The name of that seat is Mercy Seat. Now it is called the Mercy Seat because this is the seat on which the merciful God sits on. Yes. God that sits on this seat is the God of mercy. That is why it is referred to as the mercy seat. It is from this seat that God hands up his mercy to his people. Now, as David found mercy in the one true living God, so can we in the face of this merciless attack of the virus. And David knew that this God of his is sovereign. He knew he was absolutely or is absolutely in control. And he already knew this, even from the time when he was a shepherd boy looking after his father, looking after his sheep. He says in Psalm 23, verse 4, we all know this verse. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. Nothing could touch him, even if he were walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Why? Because the Lord was with him, the Lord was absolutely in control, and this God of his was absolutely merciful. Now, if God was merciful to David, no matter how cruel, no matter how full, no matter how hurtful, no matter how wicked, yes, no matter how merciless his enemies were, he would still be experiencing the mercy of God. Nothing and nobody could take that mercy away from him. God will still mercifully protect him. So he turned to God for mercy and knew that this God of his would not withhold that mercy from him. As in from his childhood, he has already known this truth. Yes, if you look at the last verse, the last two verses of the 23rd Psalm, he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Whose mercies? God's mercies. God's goodness will follow him all the days of his life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In other words, his goodness and mercy of the one true living God will be with him throughout this life on this earth and even forevermore. When he will be forever in the house of the Lord. Now, when we are pressed by any fear, even the fear of being struck by the virus, like David, let us first turn to the mercy of the one true living God. If we are covered by His mercy, nothing can harm us. Absolutely nothing can harm us. And in fact, in another psalm, we read Psalm 91, verse 7. It talks about sovereignty of God. It talks about the providential care of God. Psalm 91, verse 7 says, a thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Dear friends, it will not come with us. It will not come us. 1,000 could fall at our side, 10,000 could have fallen on our side. But friends, it will, we will not be stricken or not be struck. Yes, if the Lord does not permit us to be struck. But friends, what if the Lord permits us to be struck? What if the Lord permits us to be touched by this virus? And what if the Lord allows us to succumb to this virus and then we are called home to be with the Lord? My dear friends, let us trust in the Lord that His will is the best. Say like what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. He has a will for every one of us, and His will is the best for all of us who believe in. Now, is His mercy available to us? We are in need of His mercy. Is His mercy available to us? The answer is yes. Yes, the answer is yes. In ancient times, when people wanted the mercy of the Lord, of course, they would come before the mercy seat to the high priest once per year during the time of during the Old Testament time. Yes, but today, my dear friends, we can all come boldly unto God's throne of grace to obtain mercy, and find grace to help in time of need. We can do so because we have this perfect high priest in the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is not one who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. He can come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So this mercy is readily available to us. But what are we waiting for, my dear friends? God offers this mercy readily available to us. What should we be doing? Dear friends, let us all come boldly up to the throne of grace and obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of this need of ours, even the time when we are subject to the threat of this virus. Up boldly to this wonderful throne of grace to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our perfect high priest. Then David says in verse 3, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. So David trusted in the mercy of God. What else did he trust in besides in the justice of his God? Dear friends, we trust in the power of God. Not only trusted in the mercy of God, but he trusted in the power of God. In another psalm, Psalm 8, verse 3. Now David says this, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, consider the heavens, which he knew was the work of the fingers of God, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him? You see, what David was saying here, or is saying here, is that he recognizes that God is the creator of the whole wide universe. In other words, besides his concern, this God of peace is all powerful, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is one with whom nothing is possible. David had lived his life at the peace of this power of the one true living God, when he went out to fight victoriously against Goliath. And then when he was younger, looking after his father's, looking after his flock, there was a time when a lion and a bear came and took his lamb away. And he went after them, and he killed them. And in David's testimony, he said, the Lord delivered them into my hands. Yes, so my dear friends, we trusted in the power of the one who lives in God. In times of our fear, here, my dear friends. Let us trust in the mercy of the Lord. Now let us also trust in the power of the one true living God. He is one with whom nothing is impossible. If he is for us, who can be against us? For in our case, we might ask, what can be against us? If this virus came against us, the answer is, of course, no, if God is for us. But friends, that does not mean that it can become very presumptuous. And we say that, well, God will help me in every situation. His mercy is covering me. He's defending me by his power. And I don't have to worry. I can afford to be careless. No, we can't afford to be careless. Yeah, we have our responsibility. We have to take heed to what the health authorities tell us. We have to keep our distances. Yes, we must observe social distancing. We must observe all the personal hygiene that we ought to observe. And we must try our very, very best to keep well, to keep safe, and to prevent other people from getting sick. Next, let us see that he trusted in God's words. He not only trusted in God's mercy, he trusted in God's power. We see that he trusted in God's word, which is vital. Look at verse 4. He says, in God I will praise his word. In God I will praise his word. In God I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. With respect to God, he said he would particularly praise his word. Yes, he was praising God's word. Why? Because God, as far as he was concerned, God's word never failed. Yes, God would never allow a single of his words to fall down to the ground. That's what it means. Yes, he trusted in God's word. He knew that this God of his was absolutely faithful. And he had experienced God's faithfulness. He had experienced God's faithfulness in time past. He said, for example, in his fight against Goliath, in God's faithfulness in protecting him when he went up against the lion and the bear to deliver his lamb from the mouths of these two beasts. Yes, my dear friends, during this time, it would be very, very good for us to understand that God's promises and his assurances are true and they never fail. I would like just to give you a few examples of God's promises to us and his assurances to us for our comfort. Now, let's say if you are very fearful of death, again, let us remember Psalm 23, verse 4. Let's listen to this assurance given by the one true living God, to David. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why would I not fear any evil? For thou art with me, my Lord and my son. They comfort me. Then when we are very fearful that some of disasters might just befall us, listen to what the Lord says. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 to 31, he says this, yes, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of these shall not fall on the ground without your father, in other words, without your father's permission. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Matthew 10, 29, 31. Yes, even our heads are all numbered. Not a single hair will fall out of us without his permission. So if we are fearful that some disasters might come down upon us, remember this preserving, keeping power, his providential, special providential care on us, as assured to us by Matthew 10, 29 to 31. And then when we are fearful that we might be exposed to some kind of danger, again, God's word comes to us with this assurance. Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them. Who is this angel of the Lord? In the Old Testament, when the name angel of the Lord is referred to very often, it refers to none other than the second person of the Trinity, even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them. We fear him, yes, worship him, truly love him, and we are obedient to him. Remember this truth. eating things around. Friends, let's therefore trust in the mercy of the Lord, trust in the power of God, but trust in His word, trust in His faithfulness. Yes, trust in the that there's a wonderful God of power. Now, it is one thing to talk about having faith to fight and to conquer fear. But the question is, how may we get faith to fight fear? How may we get faith to fight fear? We need this faith, but how do we get this faith to fight fear? Now, the key lies in His word. Look at verse 4 again. Right, let's not miss reading this truth. Verse 4. Verse 4 says, in God I will praise His word. How can we know this God of ours? Let's see, friends, we read His word. How do we know that this God is one who is faithful? How do we know that this God is one with whom nothing is impossible? Friends, we read His word. How do we know that this God is very merciful? We read His word. And we know this truth concerning our God. And how can we know the promises that He makes to us? We find these promises in His word. How do we know the assurances that He gives to us? We find this in His word. So we must read His word. And God makes it very, very clear in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. He says, the word of God says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we want to have faith, there simply is no other way. We must read His word. So the question is, how faithfully have we been reading His word? And then how faithfully have we been meditating on His word? Then have we been obeying His word? My dear friends, if we have not made a habit of doing so up to now, let us start doing so. Now, if we want to practice a faith to fight fear, there is no other thing but must speak His word diligently. Make it a habit of doing so. Meditate on His word. Obey His word. Yes, this must be completely part of our life. And how do we know we have faith? That we have faith, but how do we know that we have faith? Well, not by memorizing that we have faith, not by imagining that we have faith. Yes, the Lord might just allow us to fall into a situation which our faith is tested, like the one we are in right now. Yes, our faith is being tested. Now, this was the case with Abraham, this great hero of the faith. He was called by God out of Ur of the Chaldees, and then he went to the promised land that God led him to. And then at the age of 75, God promised him a son. God promised him a son. And then his wife at that time was 65 years old, 10 years younger than him. Now, for how long had he waited for the son to come? 1 year. Faith, of course. He had to wait for 25 years for his son Isaac to come. So finally, the promise came, Isaac. When Isaac was a teenager, God tested Abraham's faith. This was the greatest test that Abraham had experienced. And that was to offer his son to the God. God gave him the son. God said, give the son back to me. Sacrifice the son. Offer your son. But for me, what did Abraham do? Question God, why did you give me this son now? You want to take this son away from me. No, he did not. He obeyed. Then, when he was about to offer up his son, when he was about to make the sacrifice, God stopped him. Then, God provided for himself a sacrifice in the form of a ram. So, now Abraham knows that he had faith in the one true living God. He would have known now. Now, before the test, did he know? He did not know. But did God know that he had faith? Of course, God knew that he had faith. He had the faith that he would pass the flying colors. But Abraham didn't know. Abraham needed to know and to God that he would go through the test so that his faith would be proved, and then he knew that he had his faith in the one who lived in God. So, friends, don't be surprised. If the Lord allows us to go through some trials in our lives, such as the one that we are all going through right now, understand this truth. We believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are not exempt from the trials of life. And then this trial imposed by the COVID-19 is very much a trial for us also. It is meant to prove us. It is meant to test us, to prove us whether or not we have faith in the one who lives. Yes, it is to let us know whether we have it or not. Now, the question is, does the Lord give us helpless? Does he know that we need this faith? Does he know? Of course he knows that we need this faith. What does he do to help us or enable us to have this faith? As we said, he does not give us helpless. Well, he sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in us. The day we came to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit of God came and dwelt in us. The Holy Spirit comes to strengthen us, he comes in to comfort us, he comes in to teach us faith. Yes, he comes in to teach us faith. And he comes in to produce the fruit of the Spirit in us, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. We need that faith, and the Holy Spirit produces that faith in us. Now, my dear friends, he produces that fruit of that part of the fruit faith in us by directing us to the Word of God. Yes, he directs us to the Word of God to teach us faith out of the Word of God. Then, as he prepares us to have faith in the one who living God, expect us, my dear friends, to go through the trials that we might have to go through, so that we may know that we have faith in him. But let us never be fearful that God will overtry us, that we will not be able to carry. No, my dear friends, again, this word assures us. Yes, he says this to us. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are evil, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that he may be able to bear it. So, my dear friend, fears are indeed very, very oppressive. They are. The fear caused by the COVID-19 can rob us of joy and peace that the Lord wants us to have. It can cripple us and render us useless as a witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. But David has shown us the way to overcome this fear that that is being produced by the COVID-19 virus. Yes, David says, in God, if I put my trust, I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. My dear friends, we must have faith in the one who lives in God. We must trust his mercy. And God shows his mercy to us. Let us understand his truth. Nothing can take away this mercy from us. Yes, even the COVID-19 virus will not be able to take God's mercy away from us. We must trust the power of the one true living God. We must then believe that nothing is impossible with him. Like David, we must trust the word of God, that God will not allow a single of his words to fall down to the ground. In other words, God is absolutely faithful. But we must apply faith to face our fear. So the question as we ask it on is, how may we be able to get faith? The way to get faith is to read God's word. Yes, to allow the Holy Spirit to indwell us, to direct us to his truth, and to give us faith through his word. David says, what time we are afraid, but let's trust in him. Dear friends, we must trust in him so that we will be able to live joyously in peace as we travel heavenward. It is true. Spurgeon says, little faith will bring us to heaven. Of course, when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, even though our faith is very small, it will, our little faith will bring us to heaven. But friends, he says this, great faith will bring heaven down to us. It's true, my dear friends. If we have faith in the one true living God, we will be able to live joyously in peace, even during this time when the COVID-19 virus is afflicting people on planet Earth. But Most people have absolutely no faith at all. I'm talking to unbelievers now. What if you absolutely do not have any faith at all? In other words, you have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. But if the Lord Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, God is not your Heavenly Father. You can come before God and ask what you want from the one true living God to face whatever fear you have. God is not going to answer because He's not your God. My dear friends, the understanding is just all the promises that the children of God may be able to have are not yours because you are not a child of God. My dear friends, the only way for you to be in a position to receive all these promises from the one true living God and be able to seek Him in prayer is, and for God to answer you, is for you to have this love father relationship with the one true living God. And the only way for you for that to happen is for you to come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. Believe in Him. Believe that He died for you on the cross of Calvary. Believe that He shed His precious blood for you. Believe that He rose up from the dead and repent from your sins. Come and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Receive Him into your heart. And then, if you have done so, and you sincerely do so, then you will have this child-father relationship with Him. And you will have the assurance that when, if the virus ever strike you, yes, and if you are taken away from this earth, you are going to end up in heaven because He's going to bring you to heaven. And then if you have this father-son relationship with Him, you need not have a fear because the Lord will give you the faith to help you overcome the fear. Yes, He will enable you to have faith with Him. So why don't you come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior today? Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word of life. We thank You that we have salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank You for the wonderful truth that You have shown to us, that we may be able to conquer fear, fight fear with faith in the one true living God. And we thank You that we can have this faith because we have the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts. And Lord, we pray that we may all, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, trust in Your mercy, trust in Your power, trust in Your word, trust in Your faithfulness. Oh Lord, Lord, help us to have this faith. We know that we critically need it to face the fear that people are around us, the people in the world have today, fear of being struck dead by this coronavirus. Oh Lord, we pray that You will be very gracious. We pray for those who are still outside the kingdom, that You speak with their hearts and cause them, Lord, to come to believe in You as Lord and Savior. For we pray and ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.